David and Brother John Mark Little, and boy, I tell you what, I feel like a little sapling amongst a lot of big oak preachers. I tell you, they have done a tremendous job, and I just tell you, I'm just thankful for the opportunity. Brother Harvey used to always say when you had such good preaching like we've had this morning that there's not much to preach other than just preaching the maps. So if you turn your Bible to the book of maps, and we'll look at that this morning. But if you will take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. Isaiah, chapter number 44. And I want to read you just about three verses. And if you are able, please stand as we read the Word of God together. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 1 says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Notice verse 3. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the preaching of his word. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought, wanting the water. Wanting the water. I'm afraid, and I believe you and I would agree, that we're living in desperate times. We are living in horrible times spiritually. I tell you, we are living in a drought. Not only a drought that is affecting this community and state, but a drought that is affecting our nation. And the drought that I'm talking about is not a drought that is a physical drought. But there is a spiritual drought this morning. The spiritual condition in most of our churches and consequently most of our country is described as desperately dry. For the most part, our gatherings and our efforts lack the very power of God. We're going through the motions, but the anointing and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit is largely missing today. Like the physical drought that affects our state in years past, the only hope for our churches is the reviving showers of God. And beloved, listen, unless he intervenes with Holy Ghost revival, our churches will continue to wither away in her parched condition. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, we find a promise that is very fitting for our day. Through his prophet, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord spoke and said, "I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." That is a remarkable verse. That verse, I believe, coincides with Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, where Joel said, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." But as I meditated upon this promise, there are three truths I want us to very quickly notice. Three things that God wants us to do and wants to do in our midst. I want you to notice with me very quickly. Notice, first of all, the blessings God wants to extend. The blessings God wants to extend. Beloved, we are living in the day of where our baptistries are empty. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm talking about the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. Many times our baptistries are empty. You say, "Now, Brother Wade, right now, I know these Newfoundland churches are baptizing left and right. I mean, listen, they're baptizing people all throughout the year." But my dear friend, the question, as Brother Mark John Mark mentioned this morning, what kind of gospel are they preaching? We, like he said, we've made it way too easy. We hear people say, well, how many just want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And then just repeat after me, and you've been saved, and let's just go ahead and let's baptize you. Joel Osteen, about 3 weeks ago, I saw that he baptized about 100 people on one Sunday. But what kind of gospel are they preaching? My dear friend, not the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of repentance. I'm talking about the Bible-believing, the Bible-preaching churches. Many times, their churches, those baptistries are empty. The first church that I pastored many years ago had not had a baptism in some 2 years. 2 years not having one soul saved. And the sad thing was, nobody was really concerned about it. We're living in the days of where increasingly our buildings are empty. Today we can fill up an athletic arena. I don't know how many colleges this year in the football stadium are adding on to their stadium. They can't fit all the people. You go to the movie theater tonight and there'll be a packed house. But in our house of God, very few. There's a problem. So much so, to mask the problem, churches are doing away with a number of services so they don't have to admit to God or themselves that there is a problem. I don't know if y'all read Paul Chappell's article that he wrote concerning why they have Sunday night services in their church. Well, good article. But he noted that there was a stat that just came out that stated that only 5% of evangelical churches today in America have a Sunday night service. 5%. Hey, listen, I grew up around here, and I know the area pretty well, but I noticed in the last 5 years that a lot of churches, evangelical churches in our area, have given up on the Sunday night service. Somebody said, Brother Wade, why is that? Well, listen, I believe the biggest reason, we got a bunch of lazy preachers that do not want to preach, thus saith the Lord, more times than what they got to. I tell you what, beloved, the biggest reason our churches are so spiritually dry is because our pulpits are dry. God save us from powerless preaching. God save us from dry-eyed preaching. Do you realize that we have more money, more programs, more technology, more talent than any other previous generation, and yet the power of God is missing from our midst? You notice that? We've got PowerPoint. We've got padded pews. We have all these things that the early church did not have, but there's a whole lot they did have that we don't have, and that's the power of God. And what is so sad about our present condition is that it does not have to be this way. God has promised His people to meet their need, and He's willing to bless us, and He's sent to send us spiritual showers that we need. And He says in our text, He says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And notice with me a couple of things we see in this verse that God wants to do for His people. Notice, first of all, that He wants to do a work of refreshing. He wants to do a work of refreshing. The Lord promised that He would pour water on him that is thirsty. That is a simple yet very instructive illustration. Beloved, listen, if you've ever been truly thirsty and then having that thirst abated by a cool drink of water, you know what I'm talking about. Years ago when I was just a kid, back when I was a kid, around here they did a lot of square baling. I didn't know what a round bale was till I got older. And many times I would work for different farmers in the area to make summer money and so forth. But I know when getting in those stalls and stacking that hay in those stalls, how dry you'd get. inhaling all that dust. But listen, I know what it's like to get thirsty. But I also know what it's like to get that thirst abated by a cool drink of water. You see, beloved, a lack of water produces dryness. A lack of water produces weakness. And without water, listen, our bodies cannot function properly. We break down without the life-giving properties of water. Yet when water is introduced into a dry, thirsty body, there is refreshing. Amen? Our muscles are hydrated. The vital organs begin to function again with full capacity. Water brings life. And right now, beloved, God wants to refresh His church. He wants to send the water of His presence and power to His feeble and faltering people. And He wants to rekindle our worship. Listen, He wants to re-energize our witness. He wants to refocus our hearts upon Him. He wants to spiritually refresh His people.
Amen.
We don't have to carry in. We don't have to carry on in our dry and weakened, ineffective condition. We don't have to continue the motions of religion without the blessings of reality. God said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. He wants to do a work of refreshing among us.
Amen.
Notice the second thing. Not only a work of refreshing, but there is this thing of a work of removing. A work of removing. Now look again at verse 3. It says that God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground. Now we don't often think of a flood in something that is positive, do we? Many times when we hear about the Mississippi running over its banks, we think about the negatives. And when we see the Cadron overflow, we think about the negatives. But there are a lot of positives that takes place in a flood. You see, a flood can wash away certain things. When the ground is parched and when the ground is dry, as described in our text, a flood serves to wash away that top layer of dust and that top layer of dry soil that sits on top of the ground. A flood upon a dry ground removes all that dead grass. It removes all those dead plants that just sit on the surface of the soil. And so a flood removes certain things, and it has a way of cleansing. And my dear friend, in much the same way, listen, God wants to do a work of removing in the midst of His church.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus wants to wash away, I believe this morning, some complacency.
Yeah.
He wants to wash away this morning some apathy that now grip much of His church. No doubt He wants to remove the worldliness. No doubt He wants to remove the carnality that is rampant among His people. And surely He wants to remove the dry and dead and religious formalism that makes up much of our worship today. I believe you would agree that there are certainly some things that God wants to remove from our church. And there is a work He longs to do among us. I hope you understand this morning that many churches today are on life support. And God is either going to give them a fresh breath from heaven, or He's going to pull the plug. You say, Brother Wade, how's He going to pull the plug? He'll just remove His candlestick from among them. Remove His presence from among them. And we need to understand our church and any church that, listen, is just one wrong decision away from God removing His presence. But the Harvey said to me many years ago, and I'll never forget it, that a church is just one wrong pastor away from disaster. A lot of truth in that. He said that 10 years ago. I didn't really understand that. But after I've seen some churches and the things they have dealt with some different pastors, I understand that. Hey, listen, God does not want to remove His presence. He longs to send the refreshing rain out of heaven. He's willing to extend His blessings to us. Notice another truth we draw from this verse. Notice not only the blessing God wants to extend, but notice secondly the burden God wants to establish. The burden that God wants to establish. Now looking again at our text, the Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Now what we have in verse 3 is not only a promise, but beloved, it is a challenge. Listen, it is not only an assurance, but it also is an incentive. You see, God wants to create a thirst in us and reveal to us our own condition. Notice with me a couple of things about this burden God wants to establish. Notice, first of all, that God wants to revive our desire for him. God wants to revive our desire for him. The promise of verse 3 is for him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty this morning? Spiritually, are you thirsty? Listen, those that do not want the water are not going to get it. You see, what the principle is here is this: desire precedes deliverance. Prayer precedes provision. And want comes before the water. The Lord desires to see a desire in us. Do you desire him today? Do you have a thirst for him today? Do you have a hunger for the Lord Jesus today? Listen to Jesus as he's preaching that great sermon on the mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you realize that one of the things that God wants to do in your life is to increase your craving for him? He wants you to want him. He's looking for a longing in your heart. I love the verse in James chapter 4 and verse 5 where James said, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, that's what we're to do after we're saved. Listen, I'm thankful that when we were sinners, listen, we could not draw nigh to God. Listen, we couldn't even seek God. God sought us. But once we're saved, we're to draw nigh to him.
Amen.
Draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to us. Oh, listen, if you've been married for a very long time, then you know that sometimes the romance and the passion and desire can wane with time. What happens? I think sometimes we just take each other for granted, our spouses for granted. We get used to each other. A couple once, I'm sure you heard about the couple that got into an argument. And the wife complained about how things had changed. She said, when we used to ride in the truck together, she said, we'd sit so close that you couldn't fit a piece of paper between us. And he looked at his sweet wife, and the husband said this, well, I've been driving this whole time. I'm not the one who moved. Amen. Hey, listen. Today, one of the things that God wants to do in our hearts is to rekindle our passion and pursuit about him. We pursue many things today. We have a lot of passion for a lot of things today. A lot of folks wanted the Arkansas Razorbacks to beat Texas. Amen. But listen, nothing wrong with those type of desires, but listen, if those things get above the main thing, way out of line. You see, it's not that we don't have passion. It's not that we don't have desires. It's just many times they're misplaced. Jesus is to come first. But God wants to hear us say with David, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh, do we desire him today? Notice another aspect of the burden that God wants to establish in us. Notice not only that he wants us to revive our desire for him, but notice also further that he wants to reveal our desperation for him. He wants to reveal our desperation for him. Now look again at verse 3. The Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. You're going to have that memorized before we leave here this morning. But notice that it is the dry ground that receives the floods. The word translated dry ground in the Hebrew, if you ever studied it out, you know what it means? Dry ground. It's amazing when you do word studies. I'm telling you. The dry ground, a place without any moisture, a place that is barren, a place that is dry, a place where there's a total lack of moisture. And listen, beloved, the dry lands, they don't need the sunshine. The dry lands don't need the latest seed that is available. The dry lands don't need to be tilled and they don't need to be turned up. Listen, the dry lands, they need rain. And they need it desperately. And as the church so often, we'll try everything under the sun, but what we need the most. We'll try new programs in hopes that it will fix the dryness of our condition. And if the programs don't work, we'll try new preachers. And in hopes that he can do what the last preacher could not do. And if the new programs don't work and the new preachers don't work, then we'll try new procedures. We'll get rid of the hymn book and start putting everything on the screen. We'll start singing we'll bring in a praise band and just start jamming for Jesus. We'll take out the choir and we'll put in some dance team, some drama team. We'll take out the pulpit and put in some play. Happen all over the country, beloved. Happening all over in our community right here. Beloved, you now understand that you can take a John Deere 4020 tractor and you could plow the fields all day. You could plant the latest hybrid seeds, but friend, nothing will ever be accomplished until the rain starts to fall from out of heaven. Beloved, we need the rain. We need the Spirit to work in us and through us in these days. Yet God promises that he will send floods to those dry grounds that know exactly what they are lacking. See, God wants us to know how desperately we need him. And I believe if we do that, that our ministries, our methods, our message, listen, that's not the problem. I believe all those things would be corrected if only we'd pray down the fires from on high and the showers of God's revival. Notice one more truth and I'll be through. I'm trying to hurry. Notice thirdly, the barrier God wants to eliminate. The barrier God wants to eliminate. Again in verse 3, God says that he will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Listen, if God wants to send this revival shower upon his people, what is keeping him from doing it? If it is God's will to refresh, if it is God's will to revive, why is it not happening? Well, I believe there is a barrier to his blessings that exists in our lives. And that barrier is something that will have to be removed if we are ever going to see the showers of blessings that we so desperately need. What is the barrier? Well, it could be many things, but I just want to mention two things this morning. First of all, there is the barrier of our indifference. The barrier of our indifference. The Lord says that he will pour water on him that is thirsty. And therein lies the main reason why the blessed water of revival does not come. We're not thirsty. Like the church of Laodicea, in Revelation chapter 3, where we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You see, beloved, our seats are comfortable. Our salvation is convenient, and our souls are content. We don't want any more of God than what we presently have. There's no thirst. No one cries out to God because no one needs Him that badly today. No one wrestles and labors in prayer because we don't have any needs that we feel that are so urgent. Now, occasionally we are moved to some small level of spiritual conviction, but it usually passes not long after we get out of the parking lot of the church. You see, the Lord wants to pour His blessings upon us, but He is finding a bare market in most of today's churches. There is no demand for His supernatural work. Why? Why, someone asked, aren't we seeing God bless us like He once did? Somebody might ask, why aren't we seeing things like the early church did in the book of Acts? Or friend, you study the book of Acts, they had a longing for the Savior. You read in the book of Acts, they prayed at one prayer meeting for 10 days. We can't get a bunch of Baptists show up for 10 minutes and have a prayer time on a Wednesday night. There's a longing. Is there any doubt that they were thirsty in the early church? And we're not. You see, there is a barrier of our indifference, but also notice that God wants to eliminate the barrier of our ignorance. He wants to eliminate the barrier of our ignorance. In verse 3 again, it says, it is the dry ground upon which God promises to send the floods. It is a land in a barren and desperate condition that God blesses. The problem in our day is that we don't know how dry things really are. I believe we don't know really the desperate condition that we're living in. I understand this morning that the ground, it doesn't become dry overnight. Now, I live in the bottomlands in Bologna. And if it begins, the winter rains, when it hits and it gets wet, it's going to stay wet until springtime. You better not get off the driveway or you'll need a four-wheel drive to get you out. You see, the ground doesn't become dry overnight, and likewise, the church has not reached her present condition overnight either. Perhaps it is because of this gradual digression that we fail to see how bad things really are. But yet when we stop and assess our present condition in light of what the Word of God has to say about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not take us long to realize how far we have strayed away from the book and from Him. Yet for the most part, we are blissfully ignorant of our dry, parched, spiritually sick condition. Sure, we may sense a need, but we are merely taking an aspirin. Merely taking an aspirin when we need to be rushed to the emergency room. And again, like the Laodicean church, we are not perfect, but we have some good things going for us. Yet Christ said to the Laodiceans, He said, thou knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, one of the reasons things are largely dead in the church is that we are ignorant of how bad things really are. We gather for our routine services, and our neighbors are perishing without the Lord Jesus Christ. The next generation is not impressed with our religious games. The lack of something real in church has sent them away searching elsewhere. Somebody mentioned it last night. Why we're losing so many young people, it's because, listen, our churches are dry. They're dead. We put on our Sunday best. We carry our Bibles. But most of our lives are virtually indistinguishable from the lives of the lost around us. We are carnal, but yet we claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We laugh at sin. We weep over some sentimental movie. We laugh and joke with the Jimmy Fallons of our day. You see, God wants to wake us from our spiritual slumber and tear away the barrier of ignorance. Beloved, we need to hear from the great physician today. We need to see that we are the dry ground. Brother Matt mentioned to you this a while ago that I woke up at 4:30 this morning. I had all the intentions of the world to keep my faucets dripping last night. I knew how cold it was going to get, and I said, I need to do that, and I went to bed without doing it. We have a water meter out by the road that just a little bit too shallow, and it's notorious for freezing up. Woke up 4:30 this morning and saw the temperature is down to 12 degrees at that time. I thought, oh, no. So I ran into the faucet to see if I had enough time, and it was already nothing there. Then froze up. But you know, much more than I ever wanted that physical water this morning, I desperately want the water of His presence to meet with me, to meet with our churches, to do a work that only He can do. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you have a craving for the Lord Jesus? Oh, I pray that you do. You see, what America needs, what Arkansas needs, what Barrel Baptist Church needs, is Him. May we long for Him. And when we do, hey, listen, He'll send us the showers of His revival blessings and bless His people once again. Amen. Brother Matt.